Hey, everyone. Welcome back to High Tea Hoops. This is Brian Boucher at the Duke of Hoops. And I have a very, very special guest today, maybe a fan favorite out there. We have Derek as a founder of D's Reels. What's up, man? Welcome to the pod.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you, Brian.
Well, after like a year of social media chats and connections and like liking each other's work while we were still in Seattle, we met at the BBL finals. It was great to meet in person all of the different creators. I feel like that was like really like, was that where you first met a lot of the different creators in British basketball too?
In person, It was mainly over social media, just, you know, liking each other's posts and then DMing each other about how we liked each other's works and how we could potentially work in the future. And then at the BBL playoff finals, I got to actually see them in person.
Yeah, a few of them
I already knew, but most of them were like first time in person as well as yourself.
It's so funny with creators too, because oftentimes we'll post our work, but we won't post pictures of ourselves that often.
Yeah,
so you don't know what anyone looks like. So you're like, oh, you're that account. Like, good to meet you.
Amazing. That's what I found about myself. I feel like I need to start posting a bit of myself a bit more. I don't really post on my personal, but I think I just start posting more on these reels because it's always a surprise for people to be like, oh, I'm sorry, who are you again? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm these reels, the account. I'm like, oh my God, it's you. And
exactly.
I'm like, yeah.
It's good for branding. Like when I first started my different social channels and like doing TikTok videos, it was hard to like start videos off with just my face, but it helps so much because actually it connects your audience to you. And so like I love like the ball out photos of you and like a fan favorite, like other photographers posting you and like, okay, you're starting to get out there. People know your face because then they get hyped when they see you on the sidelines.
All right. That's crazy. Yeah. I used to be that kid that just wanted to be like on like Hoops Fix. Like when I first met Sam Nita, I was so gassed. I was like, oh my God.
He's here. Hoops Fix is here.
Now I speak to him like day to day. He helps me out with a lot of stuff. Like he's actually helped me out. And back when I was a kid, like playing, all I wanted was just to be on his page. And now it's like, I've got something similar. But yeah.
It's amazing. Well, in my research for this, I do have to say you hit the Sham God on a Hoops Fix highlight and finished. I was like, damn, like videographers can hoop?
The thing, you know what's funny about that clip is that I think we were already winning. And this was like the fourth quarter. And my coach like allowed me to like,
did you asked him or he's like he's gonna go ISO on him
and he was like go get him because usually we run set plays was like just do what you want to do. So I hit the Sham God and then I never ever, everyone knows me to never like lay the ball up with my left hand. I'm always like right-handed. Even if I'm on the left side, I'll do it up and under just to go to this right and finish with my right. And that day, I finished with my left. I made the basket. And it was an and-one as well. So, everyone went crazy.
Caught on Hoops Fix. Yeah, you love to see it. But let's get into it. For quick intro, if you don't know D's Reels, very popular British basketball account. You cover, it seems, like every single event that goes on, every competition, some of the best highlights. The trash-talking highlights are probably my favorite. But let's start at the beginning a little bit more. What really got you into creative and video work? When did you really start getting into the creative field more?
I would say it was, I always knew as a kid that I wanted to create something. I wasn't sure what it was, but I just knew I wanted to create. And when I done my research, and we're talking about when I was like 8 or 7 years old, the first thing that came up online was engineering. So I was like, okay, I want to be an engineer. I want to create stuff. So I ended up going, picking subjects that would enable me to do engineering. So I went on to doing chemical engineering. I'd done a chemical engineering apprenticeship for 3 years, but it wasn't really it for me. On the side, I was playing basketball with my basketball team. I think I played junior NBL, which is National League. And I was playing basketball, which I loved. And then I got injured. So rather than just staying out and not playing, I wanted to help out my team. So I picked up a camera, started recording the games. And then from there, I started making highlights. Then I got back to playing again, but I wasn't getting as much minutes. So I started making little videos of myself to motivate myself before games, just to watch it.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's how it sort of started a bit. Then I went to ball out. I competed like for 2 years, went to the final.
It's like 2017?
This was 2017 and 2018 I went.
Yeah.
I qualified for the finals twice, 2017, 2018, but the finals always fell when I went on holiday back to Spain. So I've never actually been to the finals with my team. But yeah, on the third year, 2019, that's when I got injured finally. And I was like, yeah, I started to lose the love for the game. And then I just caught a very good highlight of my teammate, like dunking on someone.
Yeah.
And I posted it on social media. And then I was like, you know what? I like this. I want to, like, I don't know, make a page. Because when I was playing, I never got no exposure. My teammates got no exposure. My club got no exposure. There were players that could potentially play D1, but they were playing Division 3 because they had no exposure. So I was like, I think I can do something here. I don't know where it's going to go, but if anyone likes it, then I guess they'll like it. So that's when I made the page.
Yeah. So when you first started, like, what camera was there? Like, were you all self-taught on, like, Premiere Pro, Final Cut? Like, how did you even know how to put the highlights together?
I know I was using Filmora, which was a free software.
Yeah.
And then for the camera, I had a camcorder that my coach had given me. Mm-hmm. So I just
like the old school.
Yeah, it was a handycam, literally. And yeah, I used that. Started posting highlights. I mean, the easiest way for me to get to games was for me to travel with my team for free. Mm-hmm. So away games, home games, I'd just go. Since I wasn't playing, I'd record. Pull highlights of my team, pull highlights of the other team as well. And the people just liked it, kept on sharing it. And then, yeah, now COVID hit, then I lost my job. So now I lost my job. I was already feeling like I didn't really like the job anyways. I wanted to leave, but when COVID hit and I lost my job because of COVID, that was like a sign for me to like do something different. I wanted to just do what I actually wanted, what actually made me happy. So yeah, I tried to find a way to get into the BBL and it was a bit harder. It was really hard because there wasn't given media accreditations.
Yeah.
Plus I wasn't really working for a media firm and I had no like professional background on it. So I think one of the assistant coaches at my club is a BBL statistician. Mm-hmm. So she asked for a favor and she was like, can you please let one of the kids I coach just film at the games. He's not really charging anything. He just wants to like make highlights. And that's when I went to my first BBL preseason game, which was between the Leicester Riders and Cheshire Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And there I got to meet the Leicester Riders media manager, which is Peter Simmons.
Yeah.
He's a really well-known photographer in the UK. And then, yeah, I got to meet him there. I didn't even know him, but I sat next to him and then we just started talking. And then from there, after the game, I messaged him. And then he was like, okay, if you want to come to one of the Leicester Riders games, you can come. And
just
then
from there.
Yeah. Yeah, from there, he just kept on rolling. I kept on meeting more people. I started to go to more Leicester Rider games. Then I caught so many good highlights of Gino Crandall and Lee Williams.
The big dunker guys. I mean, those guys were insane.
And then, yeah, from there, I just started to go to more games. And then all I wanted to do was just to get my name out there. Yeah. I didn't really care about views or anything. I just wanted to go. I didn't really care. I just wanted to go to games, put the highlights out, and then yeah, it just.
So did you start D's Reels before that? It's like, okay, now I have this actual like property, this brand that I can like post the stuff behind.
Yeah, I think I had D's Reels for like, this is my second year. Whoa.
I know the COVID year, like the pandemic, like 2020, just it was like a blank.
COVID. Yeah, it was perfect. Like, I know it was like really bad in general, but it was sort of like a blessing as well to have COVID. Like, that was my chance to like.
You got to reset a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. Without that year, I don't think I would have actually like gone into it properly.
Interesting. So, and so you had D's Reels for a while, and then going into kind of the pandemic season with the BBL, you were able to actually build behind that brand. And so what made you kind of go for D's Reels? Why didn't you try to like go for a different media company or say like, hey, you needed something to publish under, you needed like that media accreditation and it might as well be something you started?
Yeah. I mean, I asked my family, I asked my friends, and the thing is they saw it to be a big thing like Disreels. I didn't.
Yeah.
It's just like, I've literally just put my name and then Reels at the end of it. It's not really professional or anything. Like, I'm just like, even if you look at the quality, like, I'm very critical. Like, I look at my stuff and I'm like, and I look at other people's stuff and it's like, damn, like, I don't really have the best of cameras. Like,
creatives are always so critical, man. Yeah, don't be so critical of it. You got to hype yourself up.
I try to, but it's like, people say it and I'm like, oh, thank you. But when I look at it myself, I'm like, I'm using a basic editing software. I mean, I've got like a basic camera. Like, I wish I had a Sony, but I don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were like, trust me, like, just keep going at it and you'll see how it goes. And then, yeah, I was like, you know what? My name is Disreels. Like,
let's do it.
I'm all about the hype. I like hype plays. I get excited about the game. That's just me.
That's the curse of creatives, man. I don't think you're ever going to get over that. I've never gotten over that. You're always going to hate your work at every point. Only sometimes you're like, wow, that was really like that shot, or really like that. Like, that was the key video for me. It's just, that's why you're going to get better though. But let's dive a little bit back into kind of British basketball culture. So you grew up playing in junior NBL. How would you describe British basketball culture in the UK? I'm obviously pretty new to it, getting to know it more. You grew up in it. What is kind of makes British basketball unique? Or just what is it? Like, how would you describe it if like someone from the US came over, someone from France, and like, what is British basketball? What's kind of unique about it?
It's
pretty early for this question. I'm hitting you with the hard ones.
Because
let's start with style of play a little bit then. So USAAU has turned into like the highlight reels. You know, it's a lot of when I started playing AAU before, you know, YouTube got really popular, TikTok still. Yeah. A lot of highlights, a lot of ISO. It seems European basketball is very team oriented, a lot of passing, a lot of skill building.
Yeah.
British basketball seems like a little bit of a blend of it. When you grew up playing, like, what's the coaching like? Like, does it have its unique stamp, or it seems like it is a hybrid between the US and European 100%. Basketball?
Now that you mentioned that, that's 100% true. Like, it's a mix. Like, and it really depends on the coach that you've got and the players that you've got. So certain coaches are like, is like sort of European basketball, that everything's set plays. Like, you've got to follow the play. If you don't do this play, you have to do the other play. If this don't work, then you turn into this, or you've got horns, blah, 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 all of that. And then sometimes you've got teams or certain players that coaches trust to just do what they do.
So it's really, I guess the mix is because the coaches are mixed. They're coming from all over. Oh, that's interesting. Exactly. I hadn't thought about that way.
The coaches are like, some coaches, especially in junior basketball, some coaches are American. So obviously they've got like an American style of 1v1. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other coaches that are not from, that are from the UK or from European countries, and they just run certain plays. But it's really a mix. It really depends on the team. So I wouldn't say they've got, British basketball's got its own
brand yet.
Yeah, its own brand.
Because in the US, I don't know if this is true anymore, but it used to be like, all right, if you are from New York, there's a lot of courts, a lot of people playing constantly, and the rims are usually bad. It's usually like not, it's windy. So they become all dribblers. So like the best point guards, the best dribblers are all from New York, because there's not a lot of shooting. There's a lot of pickup basketball, people trying to like break each other's ankles. And then in the Midwest, it's much harder to find pickup games. You're out on farms a lot. And so you just have a hoop. And so those are the shooters. And so you get like the Hoosiers, like the Jimmy Chitwoods, like Larry Bird. Those are the shooters from the Midwest. So it's regional based on almost like weather and access to different courts. Yeah. And I haven't seen that in much in you know, British basketball, but the coach difference makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I don't, like what you said just now, I don't know anything about different locations. I couldn't really say that Londoners. Okay, actually, what I would say, London basketball is way different to any other basketball you'd see anywhere else.
How so? In my opinion,
I feel like London basketball players are much fiercer, if that's even a word.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Very fierce, like physical, very physical. Not just like the older guys, even the junior players, they're very physical compared to the other guys around the country, in my opinion, anyways.
Is a reason for that? is just more competitive here because there's like more density of people.
Much competitive, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot more. And there's a lot of leagues that are currently happening in London compared to where I used to live back in Birmingham. There's a lot more leagues. And I think players start to play very young here. I know there's like a under 12s or under 11s league, under 14s, under 16s. Like the fact that it starts all the way from under 11s, that's crazy. You have under 11s playing. In America, like they start from when they're babies even, but it's not that popular to see that here in the UK.
Yeah. All right, let's go into your videography a little bit more. Favorite competition you've shot?
Favorite competition? I would have to say a university Bucks finals, which is the university basketball. Yeah. It was crazy. The atmosphere was crazy.
When was this? Was that this summer?
This was before COVID. So the summer before COVID. So COVID was 29. I think it was 2019. Yeah, it's 2019. Summer of 2019. It was the best game I've ever been to. I think I caught a highlight. That was probably like one of my most viewed videos was the player crossed. Like he dribbled to the basket, crossed it back. The guy literally done the splits and then hit the shot and everyone just went crazy. So yeah, that was one of the best games ever. He was actually my team as well.
Oh, against your team or your team did it?
Yeah, my team.
Nice. How do I phrase this? What is your most viewed, most engaged with video? Like what video like has popped off where maybe you didn't expect it as much or you're like, this one's going to hit?
It was the latest video I posted of one of the mic'd up kids at London Elite. Mm-hmm. I mic'd him up because I seen him at other games like talking a lot. So I was like, I want to hear. People want to hear what you're saying. And I put the mic on him and I was like, Don't let this distract you. Just play your game, but obviously give me a show. And he was like, I got you. We fist bumped. And when I went back to edit it, it was crazy.
So is that where he pointed in the crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. And describe it for the listeners.
Yeah. The thing is, the way I edited it, I made him look like a villain, but it wasn't really the case. It was more the fact that his teammate was getting abused, like whilst he was shooting the free throws. And he defended his teammates, hence why you could hear him like pointing at the crowd saying, you're blah, you're that, you're that. Yeah. So yeah, it went crazy. I think at the moment it's on 600,000 views on Instagram. Damn. And then on TikTok, 300 and something, that or 400 and something thousand. So yeah.
I mean, that was the perfect moment where he calls him out, yells at them, gets the steal, comes down, dunks it on him. Like the next play, you don't get that much. And people are like, is that British basketball?
Exactly. That was crazy. The sequence after that, that's what even I was like, oh my goodness.
This it's so hard to back it up. Yeah, it's so hard to back it up like that. Like that never happened. That's like a dream moment. And you caught everything with the mic'd up. I bet you, oh man, he's so happy.
Oh,
so good. All right, let's go through social media profiles then. So how have you been able to get, you mentioned 600,000 views on Instagram, which is really hard to get even on Reels. Actually, Reels is the perfect name for you. You came up with Reels before Instagram did. How that's so ironic. These Reels on Reels. So how have you really been able to break through and reach the British audience? Because I think you have, 22,000 on TikTok, thousands on Instagram, across, YouTube, you're going up in subscribers. How have you found social media to kind of break through to this British basketball audience?
I feel like everyone that plays basketball in the UK, they watch the NBA or college basketball at least. So they definitely watch Ball Is Life or Overtime or Hoops and Tapes. They know about that. They don't really get as much of what they watch or as much of US basketball on British hoops, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they want it, but they don't have it. Now I'm trying to provide that by going to games. And I feel like I get more exposure when it comes to youth basketball rather than professional basketball, because kids tend to like share things of their friends.
Yeah. So they interesting. Share or that's their age level.
Yeah, it's the age level. So they level. see that they can do that. So they like it. They come and they interact with the post. Mm-hmm. When it comes to professional basketball players, they don't really care about, some of them do, they care about highlights, but most of them, they just focus on the work. So it's like, even if you post a highlight of them, they might like it. They might share it every here and there, but not like the way youth basketball would do. So I feel like the way I've been able to grow my audience is by targeting like the young kids.
Yeah, that is really, there's a lot to unpack there. So I'm going to start at the top with like the different profiles. How have you found the different social media channels attracting different audiences? Like, is it different on YouTube versus Instagram versus TikTok? Who's on it?
Yeah, I think I've got a bigger British basketball audience of British people on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to TikTok, I've got more Americans.
Interesting.
I'm British people. And this is what sort of annoys me, is that whenever I make any posts to do with British basketball, I can guarantee you I will have at least 10 people commenting, British basketball is not better than US basketball. And I'm like, I'm not really comparing. Like, I'm just posting British basketball.
Why are you defending it?
Exactly. And yeah, they always try to make certain comments that, oh yeah.
I apologize on behalf of my country. We always have to be the best for some reason. We just won gold. Like, we get it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think with TikTok, I try to, sometimes I try to actually make comparisons to get them.
Instigate it. Yeah, get the engagement.
Just like the way I did with one of my TikTok posts where I said that a kid who wasn't actually 12 years old was 12.
Yeah.
And then people were just going crazy.
Man, you are learning all these social media tricks. So funny. People on your newer videos goes, I bet he's 8, right? Like, they're like, I bet he's 9 years old, right? Yeah, yeah. They reference back to it. Like,
yeah, of course. But I think with Instagram, I'm still trying to learn of it, because some posts work, some don't. And I'm trying to see what actually works. With TikTok, I know what's working for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can put a shot of someone shooting free throws and put a quote on it that it is works. Related. Ballers, and it just works.
You figure that out. That's really important. If you're in social media, on TikTok, any channel, if you find something that works, even if it's almost identical, keep doing it. Like, it's the DeAndre Liggins free throw routine, which is engaging in itself. And then you can put like a tweet, quote, whatever over it. And people want to watch the whole thing and read through it. Yeah. And even though I've seen it, you know, dozens of times, it feels like now, I'm watching every one because I know what to expect. You get the engagement, people like it. I've done similar on my TikTok where it's like the same photo tip over and over and over again with different scenarios. So it keeps it engaging and it's different, but it works. And I think people are afraid to replicate what works, and you figured it out. You're like, no, we got to just keep doing it. It works every time.
100%. 100%. Always works. With Instagram, on the other hand, I don't know. And I'm starting to be interested in it because it's hard to grow. I mean, it's not that you can't grow, but it's just harder to grow than it is on TikTok.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And on TikTok, you can also make money out of it. So it's just a place to be.
Instagram right now, you can pretty much only grow through Reels. And it used to be like you would post a photo and you would get a big reach outside of your following there. Now, and a lot of, the different social media companies I work for, you post a photo and you lose followers every time you post. You know, it's like, it's actually like declines now. And Reels is really the only way to reach a new audience. So you're right. It's tough, but I feel like in British basketball, I've been able to network more on Instagram than any other social media platform, because I feel like you're right. Like, the British basketball community is on Instagram. Like, you can DM people through there. The communication's better. They're all on there. The engagement's good. It just seems like there's definitely like a limited audience.
Yeah.
Have you been able to network through TikTok and Instagram and like make those connections? Which ones do you think you actually make the most connections on?
I would say, if I had to rank them, I would say Instagram first. Mm-hmm. That's where I've networked the most. That's where everything's literally come from.
Yeah.
From Instagram.
So even though the reach is frustrating, it's still like the connection networking. Yeah.
Engage the connection with the fans. Networking is definitely working on Instagram. The second I'd probably say is Twitter, and then Facebook. TikTok.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. See, that was shocking to me. It's like, there are a lot of people in the UK on Facebook still.
100%. 100%. I'd probably say the thing with British basketball is like, I think there's more, the people that really know about British basketball and like go to the games consistently and stuff, they're usually like the, I don't want to say old, but
like 40 plus.
The older age group got like the proper fans of British basketball in the older age group gap.
You can say old. It's okay. We don't get offended when you say old.
So they're mostly on Facebook. So interesting. When it comes to posts, like I think during the season, I did something about what's the call, where I wouldn't really say my opinion about a play on a call, and I just put it out there for people to give their opinions, and that would engage so much. I would have so many people, especially referees and officials and people who have like been in the game, just commenting and being like, that shouldn't have been the call, that was the correct call, this is that. So that works on Facebook, not anywhere else. It works on Instagram too. That's if I put it on my story and I get people to like write the
poll or something, respond.
That's how it works.
We still haven't created a Facebook account at High Two Hoops. Maybe I'll have to for the OG British basketball BBL fans. But But if you go back to kind of Gen Z, you mentioned that there is this gap in British basketball that I saw too, where Overtime, Ball Is Life, all of these different media sites are covering youth hoops in the US and like getting hype around it. And there was a gap in British basketball where you don't see as many highlights here. How do you think Gen Z perceives basketball here? Like, is there a perception that, we have to go to the NBA, we have to go D1, British basketball, more focused on like professional British basketball? Because obviously there's a lot of hype around the junior leagues, like you said, and like people love those, the highlight reels, but then they're not as interested in the maybe the BBL highlights or the NBL highlights, like the D1 highlights. How do you think they perceive British basketball?
I think, obviously, I can't tell you what other people think, but I can tell you the way I saw it.
You get so many comments, man. You're like the pulse of Gen Z right now. Like all of the banter you get, more than you're like a perfect like person to consume all of this information of the culture.
Great. Like for me, I feel like the way I saw it is the way most of the kids coming up are seeing it. And I will say before I went to a BBL game, I didn't think the BBL was a good league.
The way that some people talk about it, it's like, oh, this is a trash league.
Yeah, it's like, not. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
you have good. To
come watch it and see it. And I'm telling you, when I watched it for the first time I recorded a game, I couldn't keep focus because it was so quick.
Yeah.
The game is so fast. And the players are actually good. I feel like before I got into filming British basketball at BBL, I didn't really think it was a good league. And I felt like if I did want to make it as a professional basketball player, I'd have to go to the US or just leave the country. And that's what I feel like most kids think.
Yeah.
But you have to see it to believe it. So I feel like the more exposure BBL gets, proper exposure from all these media outlets, the better these kids can see the BBL as a route to become a professional basketball player.
Yeah, you're right. Because like, I mean, Gino, for example, for the Riders, like he played at one of the top colleges in the US. Like Gonzaga is one of the best traditionally and historically in the NCAA. He's in the BBL. We get some of the top players. And I was like, when you see it live too, like the BBL finals were intense. And they are so fast. They're all like 17 feet in the air at the same time. It's unbelievable. Like the verticality a lot of them have too.
Yeah.
And you're right. I just think the exposure is not quite there, but I kind of get the same thing where there's like this belief that NBA is the best league. And I don't want to even look at the British Basketball League, or I don't want to look at British basketball in general. Like there are so many fans of the NBA here that don't even know the BBL exists.
100%.
Which is very strange to me. Like what, like from like you growing up, did you have a BBL team? Like, were you aware of like the teams or the, no?
At all. I didn't know no BBL team, no BBL player, nothing. I didn't even know there was even basketball in this country until like I started playing properly. Yeah. Even whilst I was playing when I was 15, 16, 17, I didn't know nothing about British basketball, never went to a single game.
That's insane, man. And that's where it's like, you're saying that Gen Z love sharing their own videos and highlights. So I feel like that, you know, we need to do BBL foundations where they're, you know, the teams that are actually leading up into like the Lions and the Riders, like that's where you got to do the highlights, get people hyped, because that's how they'll discover the different BBL teams.
And the thing is, as soon as I started making posts on, especially Gino Crandall, Ramon Fletcher, like I found, like at first when I started posting BBL highlights, it was the worst. Like I would get the least amount of likes, views. But the more like I got them into it, like you can't like what you don't know or what you don't see. So I had to put it out there. The more they got to see it, then they started getting other media outlets like posting it. Then it was like, whoa, Gino Crandall. Did you see what Gino Crandall's done?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's just keeping it consistent, like putting it out there. If you don't put it out there, no one's going to know. No one's going to be interested. So you can't really give the audience what they want, but you've got to show them what they want. Wait, I don't know.
That makes sense to me. Don't worry. The thought process is there.
Yeah, but yeah.
What do you think players can do to help grow the game? Because it's like getting to know the players, like you said, Gino, building their own brands. Like what have you seen from, and it seems like a lot more British basketball players are trying to grow their different social platforms, creating more content, taking photos of themselves. What do you think they can do to really grow their own brands? Another very loaded question. A lot of components here. Build everyone's brand for me on the pod.
I feel like I don't know how they can do it. I feel like we need to get these young guys more at the games. Yeah. And I think through social media, they need to show more of the personality. Mm-hmm. I think people fall in love with people's personalities. And then when they do see them play, they don't just see them as just players. They see them like actual human beings.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we can try do that, as media outlets and themselves too, then I think that should be a good starting point.
Do you think Selena's going to let us mic up BBL players this season? Because that would be dope.
That would be so good, but let's just hope.
Let's hope. Because then you can get the trash. Like I could not believe how much trash talking there was at the BBL finals.
That's the thing.
And it's funny. It's like people want to hear it.
It's good, but I don't know if the clubs like it.
I mean, you'd have to edit it. It wouldn't be real time. You could get their approval before sending it out.
100%. But if you really want to get the stuff that's going to get people interested.
Just mic up Darius Defoe. Just get a mic on that man. Yeah, and, I know what you're talking about. And you'll go viral over and over and over again. Real good. All right, let's wrap this up with a little ball out UK talk. So you were covering this event. You've played in this event. What do you think Ball Out means to the British basketball community? Because I was not shocked, but I guess shocked and so impressed with like how many people came out, how big it was, the production value. What do you think Ball Out means to the community?
Ball Out is, how can I say? Oh, it means a lot, especially to players that it meant a lot before, but with COVID and everything happening, and still being able to have Ball Out bigger than what it was the past years is the biggest thing ever. Like, I don't even have a word. It's just, it was so great to see that so many people around the UK, Newcastle, Leeds, Manchester, traveling down to one location just to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, it was amazing. There were so many kids. So many, it wasn't even just adults, kids willing to just play, just to play basketball for the love of the game.
Did you go on Saturday? Because Saturday was, you know,
Saturday. I went a bit late because I had work. So I had to go after work. But Sunday I was there for the whole day. And it was just great. It was just great to see how much it's grown.
Any big takeaways? It felt like both finals were insane for the elite men and elite. Elite boys.
I would say every single final on that day was actually great. There wasn't that much of a blowout, but the final, like last game, that was crazy as hell.
Especially with the dunk contest right before. So people were already really hyped.
Yeah.
Or was, yeah, that was before, right? Dunk contest was right before the final. Dunk contest
was before, and then the finals was the last thing. But that just goes to show that it just takes time and consistency. Like, we need more people like Julius, the organizer of Ball Out. We need more people like him handling stuff to do with basketball in the UK. That's the way to grow. Like, we need more people, new people, people with, like, great ideas, young people at least. Because it feels like the people that are currently running British basketball, like the different leagues, are usually people that they've been in basketball for so long that they just sit on their old ways. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to bring nothing new to it.
I mean, that's, you got to get your friends involved. I mean, if you are coming up in basketball, there's opportunities. Look at you. You just showed up at a BBL game and made it snowball from there. No, like that's, right? That's actually how it works. That's how opportunities work. No. It's just getting to know people and just like keep pushing.
100%.
All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Let's leave on that words, those words of wisdom. Anything else you want to shout out? What are your channels? Where can people find you?
My channels is Dezreels, DezReels, Dezreels on every single social media platform, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
You won't regret it. Best British basketball highlights out there.
Yes, sir. Dezreels, right. Get hyped.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much, Brian.